560 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning and welcome to The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey. And we are so grateful for you listening and helping bring joy to our journey, since we get to be here every morning, Monday through Friday.
Absolutely, it's such a gift. And the most important way to start the day and find joy in the journey is with prayer. So I'm actually going to read from the novena from the USCCB. That is, again, praying for the repose of Pope Francis' soul. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the meditation from the day by St. John Paul II. As the heir to the mission of Peter in the church, which has been made fruitful by the blood of the princes of apostles, the Bishop of Rome exercises a ministry originating in the manifold mercy of God. The authority proper to this ministry is completely at the service of God's merciful plan, and it must always be seen in this perspective. Its power is explained from this perspective, associating himself with Peter's threefold profession of love, which corresponds to the earlier threefold denial. His successor knows that he must be a sign of mercy. His is a ministry of mercy, born of an act of Christ's own mercy. The Church of God is called by Christ to manifest to a world ensnared by its sins and evil designs that, despite everything, God in his mercy can convert hearts to unity and enable them to enter into the communion, into communion with him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him. Grant, we pray, O mighty God, the soul of your departed servant, Pope Francis, to whom you committed the care of your family, may, with manifold fruit of his labors, enter into the eternal gladness of his Lord, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yeah, it's such a beautiful prayer sequence. You get these really meaty reflections as well. I love how it talked about God in his mercy just being able to convert and change hearts, right? I had a situation happen yesterday. I was stressing about something and, you know, needed some peace. So I did, I think, one of the most efficacious things you could do in that moment. I went to the chapel, got a suntan, right?
I love
capital
it. Capital
S-O-N.
Yes.
And it's interesting. I mean, I really was stressing out.
Yeah.
And of course, like, it's sort of my MO sometimes in Mass and adoration. I wish it wasn't, but I powered down, went down for a nap.
You're resting in the spirit, Josh.
Or as I like to say, sleeping in tongues, because I snore.
You're so relaxed in his, but seriously, yeah. You're so relaxed in his presence. You just have a time to just be still.
Yeah, but you know the thing is, I mean, I was doing like the bobbing for apples where your head's going down, you're coming up, and I think at some point I just tapped out and I was done. But I woke up and it was like that anxiety was gone.
Praise the Lord.
You know, like while I was asleep, God did some soul surgery. And I'm thinking about it, and like scripture shows powerful stuff happens when we rest in the Lord.
Yes.
I mean, what? God puts Adam to sleep and he wakes up and Eve is created.
Yes.
St. Joseph falls asleep and an angel tells him to stay with Mary.
Yep.
So it's like when we enter into God's rest, he handles the rest. I feel like that.
You know what? I love that. And again, and truly surrendering it. Like I said the other day, you said, Allison, why don't you go in the chapel? You know, I was kind of having a rough day, just a lot of stuff going on. And it took a few minutes, like I was saying. But once I just was there for a little while, the peace came upon me. So again, go to the source with all peace.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's interesting too. As a very wise mentor of mine who also sponsored me in RCIA, I was, you know, dumping some problem on him one day and he said, "You know what? Why don't you just get a sandwich and a nap?"
That's awesome.
Okay. Wow, that's profound. And it's surprising how sometimes the basics really solve the problem.
Well, it just comes down to simplicity. Prayer, just eat something, relax. We just have to calm down and trust that the Lord sees it all, knows what's going on, and he's going to take care of it.
Yeah. It was interesting, too. I mean, even yesterday, before I went into adoration, I was like, well, maybe I need to call this person and hash it out or get this kind of insight from this individual. I just went and fell asleep in front of Jesus, and I woke up and was like, what was I so anxious about?
Yes. And that's always the case, right?
So, yeah.
Good job, Josh. Thanks for sharing that.
Well, thank you. And I guess we need to take some more of those spiritual power naps, right? God is moving and grooving. And by the way, speaking of moving and grooving, we have an amazing show lined up for you guys today. We have our dear friend, Father Rivak, priest at St. Clair of Assisi in Acworth, Georgia. He is going to be unpacking today's gospel reading. It's going to be fantastic. Our buddy Chuck Persner is going to help us get acquainted with Saint Mary Magdalene. Remember our scripture of the day, Psalm 46:10. Hey, we're just kind of talking about it.
I was about to say, you put that into practice yesterday.
And know that I am God.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. I think about this. Exodus 14, God will fight. I think it's 14:14. God will fight your battles for you. You need only to be still.
Amen.
Yeah. And Father Daniel Heenan from the, FSSP is going, with Bosco Ministries, going to be talking about the upcoming Ecuador mission trip for men, 18th through 24. This is July 15th through 26th. But coming up next, we have our dear friend Samantha Holika. Did I say it right? I hope so. She can correct me or chastise me. An expert and amazing financial and wealth management advisor. And that's going to offer us some really, really valuable tips about how we can have a holy relationship with our finances.
Showers and thunderstorms ending this morning. Partly sunny today with a high near 84. It's 66 at 8:07.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
We are so grateful to have Samantha Holika. I'm just too basic to get. Can you help me with this?
It's Holika. But again, that's the Americanized way we've chosen to say it.
That's fantastic.
A couple generations ago when my husband's family immigrated here.
I love this. And you said it's Ukrainian, actually.
Yes.
Okay, that's fantastic. Well, look how little culture I have. I was going to say Hawaiian, but...
Everybody does, yes. Aloha, yes.
Well, we are so glad that you're with us. Tell us a little bit about you. I know you've got these incredible credentials, and I don't want to botch those as well. So you're a CFP, CLU, RICP. You're a wealth management advisor. You help a lot of people get smart with their money and also, just plan for the future in the wisest way possible.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I want to know, what inspired you to pursue a career as a wealth management advisor, and how has your Catholic faith guided you along the way?
Sure. So I started my career when I was 22 with Northwestern Mutual, and I had started working with them because I had a marketing degree, and I loved the culture, loved the family, really, because it's a very, the company's owned by its clients. It's very client centric. It's not per se a Catholic company. However, a lot of the leadership is. I knew I wanted to stay there and I enjoyed that. So, but really the calling to become an advisor really didn't come until in my 30s when I had my son, and of course life gets way more expensive with children. And I always thought, well, I'll stay home and I'll be a stay-at-home mom. And, but my husband, he was called in the direction of nonprofit. And so therefore that really kind of required me to work.
Yeah.
And so to be able to be the mother and the spouse I wanted and the disciple I wanted to be, that I knew I was being called to be, I really needed more time and I needed more financial upside. And so I was in leadership when my son was born. So I had the financial upside. I just didn't have ownership of my time.
Yeah.
Right? And so I went to prayer and said, hey, which direction should I go? And how Lord, get me out of this. Let me do this.
Yeah.
And it was just a constant, persistent nudge from all directions, all people, all conversations, all scripture I read, all prayer to become an advisor and stay. And so I chose to stay there because I own a business affiliated with Northwestern Mutual, which means that I get to pick my clients, pick my time. I have more employees than I should from a revenue standpoint because I want more time.
Yeah.
So, after we are done today, I go home and do laundry and do all the things I don't have time to do on the weekends because I want to be at every basketball game and soccer game and, you know, do all of that. So, and then I want to be present when my kids get home from school because they're teenagers now, right? So I grew up with terrible examples of money.
Yeah.
Because we just didn't have any.
Yeah.
And so it was paycheck to paycheck. It was mismanagement all over the place. There's so many problems, so many, and how that affected me as a child, too. I wanted to share wisdom with people. I have whatever God tells me, I share it. And I think that that's one of my charisms, whether they listen or not, right? That's up to their heart. But I wanted to be able to share what I had learned the hard way in my 20s, in my early married life.
Yeah.
And now as I'm maturing, I'm 48 years old. And so I'm also working with a lot of people who have done well and have saved and have been responsible. But now how do we steward that money going forward?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a totally different challenge, but I think very purposeful as well.
Yeah. And before I pass the baton to Allison, I know she got a question. What I love about what you shared is you were thinking vocation first, right? I'm a mother. I'm a wife. You know, there is a domestic church I need to be present for.
That's right.
And so how does my career orbit around that and not the other way around?
Correct.
So, so important.
Yeah.
And as a mom, I understand time is essential and being there for all of those different parts of your children's life is number one.
Yes.
So beautiful.
Yes.
So how does your faith influence your approach to your financial planning?
So I hope it influences us in a lot of many ways. I try to serve as a servant leader. I mean, I am, it's mostly teaching and counseling and listening and then advocating. So a lot of people come to me, whether they, you know, have money problems or they have, you know, I have a lot of conversations with people who have plenty of money. They're just like, I know I'm not doing the right thing. It's almost like they're confessing, right? Like, and so just being very merciful. Yeah. I love that that's how we started today with mercy.
Yes.
Because you really do have to meet people where they are and then get a really good understanding of their heart and our what they want this tool and this gift of money, whether it's income or just assets that they have, to be able to become who they're supposed to be. And whether that's a, you know, become a better parent or a better disciple, and then stewarding that money to make sure the money doesn't get in the way, either because it's not we have to be very intentional with it because it's not, we have just enough to do what we need to do to live and to hopefully save enough to be secure when we're not working anymore, but also be able to give too, if that's on our hearts from God. And then, being able to really meet them where they are and then align that income or that those assets with those goals and objectives so that there's no anxiety, right? So you're talking about the anxiety of it. Like, I know planning in our space is so important, right? And of course, we make plans and God laughs. And so it's never going to be perfect, but you have to be ready for those times when you have a sick child or when you get laid off work or when you get, you know, unfortunately, just something terrible financial happens, right? Yeah. So just be ready for it, but not be worried about it, right? And if you're intentional with money, especially from a young age and you build good habits, those will help with weathering those storms, right? Whether it's volatility in the market like we're experiencing right now, right? If you're well diversified, you don't have to worry about it, right? If you're not going to touch that money for a long time, you shouldn't worry. Yeah. If your job's in danger, yeah, we need to make sure you have enough cash.
Yeah.
Right? So it's so planning in our space, the way you reach your goal, whether it's to give or whether it's to, you know, buy a house or it's to pay off debt, it's planning. 90% of what will dictate your success mm-hmm. is the plan. And having one, implementing that plan and sticking to it, especially when times are rough, is your success. 90% of your success is going to come from that. 10% is going to come from exactly what's inside your 401k or exactly where that is, right? And unfortunately, our industry is mostly focused on that mm-hmm. because most of us get paid the most based on that. Mm-hmm. And so, and then when you read stuff on the internet, it's all about that, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Because people are selling stocks, people are selling mutual funds, people are like they want you to buy all that stuff, which again is not bad. You need to buy those things,
yeah.
or you'll run out of money over long courses of time.
Yeah.
However, it's mostly about the plan.
Yeah, that's powerful stuff and practical stuff, too. So we're bumping up a little bit against the clock, but I do want to ask this question because we could talk to you all day. This is so exciting. I think we need to get a part two in the books.
Sure.
But I want to ask, what are some ethical considerations that Catholics should keep in mind when managing wealth or investments?
So I look at this from my perspective. I have to think about this for our own selves all the time is, are we focused on the wealth of this world? Or are we focused on the wealth of the next?
Mm. Oh, wow.
And so, I think that we're meant to be great, right?
Yeah.
Not just comfortable.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of clients that are just worried about being comfortable forever, right? And it's not just about that. So I think ethically, it's partially, what are we doing with our cash flow? How are we spending that? How are we stewarding that? Right? Is that going in the right directions? And then how are we building our wealth inside those accounts? There mm-hmm. is, you want to be very, make sure you're investing to Catholic principles. There are resources on the Catholic Foundation's website as far as how they manage our foundation money.
Mm-hmm.
It's all based on Catholic social teaching. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then also on the website for the U.S. bishops, mm-hmm. They also have you could just Google it, right? So really inside the accounts, there's a specific way that you can invest, right? Mm-hmm. And it is very profitable,
yeah.
Regardless of what the news sometimes says. but then two is okay if we are comfortable, we know we're on track for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've done well, we've been blessed with all this. What are we going to do with what's left over, either mm-hmm. now while we're alive or when we pass away?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's the area in which I think God's calling me next.
Yeah.
Is to help those people really discern and figure out how does God want us to use this gift? Because it is a gift.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Samantha Holoka. I think I nailed it that time.
Yes.
From Northwestern Mutual. Really, really quick, how can people find out more about you?
So if you just Google Samantha Holoka, H-O-L-O-W-K-A, with Northwestern Mutual, or even just look up Northwestern Mutual Advisors in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm the only Samantha. I'm the only Holoka out there. So easy to find me.
We're so grateful for you. Thank you again.
My pleasure.
We have our friend Chuck Persner helping us get acquainted with St. Mary Magdalene. Remember a scripture verse, be still and know that I am God, Psalm 46:10. Padre Daniel Heenan from the FSSP Order will be talking about the upcoming Ecuador mission trip for men. But next, our friend Father Michael Rivak, priest at St. Clair of Assisi, unpacks today's gospel reading.
Hi, it's Teresa Tomeo. Coming up at 9 this morning on AM 1160 The Quest, I'm inviting you to join me for Catholic Connection. But right now, let's turn to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic radio station.
Father Rivak, priest at St. Clair of Assisi in Acworth, is back, and he's going to be reflecting on today's gospel. Welcome back, Father.
Thanks, guys. Today is the feast day of St. Joseph the Worker, and we are going to read from Matthew 13, 54 to 58. Jesus came to his native place and taught the people in their synagogue. They were astonished and said, "Where did this man get such wisdom and mighty deeds? Is he not the carpenter's son? Is this not his mother named Mary? Is not his mother named Mary? And his brothers and sister and his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, are not his sisters all with us? Where did this man get all this? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his native place and in his own house. And he did not work any mighty deeds there because of their lack of faith. Hmm. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So we talk about the gospel, of course, but we should also focus on the theme of this feast, which is kind of the dignity of workers. The mm-hmm. church has always in recent days anyways, kind of kept. I don't know if this was a recent emphasis on the feast day of St. Joseph the Worker or if it's always been this way, but it seems like it was a thing done to combat communism. And the dignity of workers and the to like fight against the idea of alienation of goods that of really? Product. I could be mistaken on that. If it wasn't, we should have done that back then. might have sped things up. But Joseph has got this really big. He's got this really big job, right? He's asked to be first of all an incredibly trusting and an incredibly obedient guy. To trust that what the angel said to him was true. To trust that his betrothed is pregnant indeed of the Holy Spirit and she wasn't unfaithful, to trust to go through with the wedding, to take her into his house, and to raise the and to be obedient enough to do that for her and to raise the child as his own, right? And then of course the great responsibility and dignity bestowed upon him to be called to be known as the father of Jesus. To have that great responsibility to care for the son. But all of these things play out for Joseph, not in this sort of dramatic flashing lights, thunder, storm, drama, mm-hmm. but in the simplicity of an ordinary life with the most extraordinary two human beings. I mean, the only way that that house could get filler is if you put John the Baptist in there, right? I mean, the most extraordinary human beings ever to live. You could say human being of Jehovah. Jesus, of course, is a divine person, but fully God, fully man. But you have these most amazing people living in this most ordinary way, sort of exemplified by the ordinariness of Joseph. Like, he's just a regular guy. Mm-hmm. He's, apart from the fact that God chose him, no particular unique thing that says, hey, this is the guy that we should have care for the Ark of the Covenant. This is the guy that we should have care for the Lamb of God. This is like, he's just Joseph. He works on wood, right? That's what he does. And in the ordinariness of that is where God sees so fit to bring about the great fulfillment of all of the Old Testament drama. And Joseph, here he is. He's just working. Every day he gets up, goes out to his shop, whatever. Hmm. Scrapes on wood, puts things together, sells it, makes enough money to provide for Mary and Joseph, and sits down to dinner with them in the evening, does their evening stuff, goes to bed and wakes up the next morning and does it all over again.
Yeah.
Right? And it's so easy for us to lose. It's so easy for us to lose enthusiasm for the gospel when we live in the ordinary of our lives. And we have to, it's refreshing sometimes to get feasts like this where we're sort of told, no, it's okay.
Amen.
It's okay that your life's regular and ordinary. It doesn't have to be drama all the time.
Well, and of course, Jesus was quite regular for the first 30 years. Mm-hmm. Right? He lived rather in obscurity.
The people in this gospel didn't even know there was anything special about him. They were just like, who is this guy?
Mm-hmm. And I did a little research, Father. I thought that was so interesting what you brought up, so I fact-checked it. Pope Pius XII established the Feast of St. Joseph in 1955, and it was declared to be celebrated on May 1st, which was International Workers' Day, a day long associated with communist and socialist labor movements. So it was apparently created to reclaim this day for Christian dignity in labor instead of aligning it with a class struggle or atheistic materialism as the communists often did.
Heck yeah.
So Father Rivak hits a bullseye.
Man, so just in the back of the brain there, pulling it out, shaking the cobwebs off of it. There it is. Well, it just makes such sense, right? I mean, you could have guessed that probably, but man, praise God. That's great that all these things kind of stay the same.
Isn't that cool? And a little quote from Pius the 12th. May Day is the day of St. Joseph the Worker. The humble craftsman of Nazareth not only personifies the dignity of the laborer before God and humanity, but is also the guardian of you and your families.
Wow.
Excellent. It all fits so perfectly, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Almost like they knew what they were doing. So I mean, I think the big thing here on the May Day, on St. Joseph's the Worker Day, on the day where we celebrate workers, is one, recognize that you can bear fruit. You could bear eternal fruit in the ordinary work that you do every day, right? As long as your work is noble, you can bear fruit, eternal fruit, in just the work that you do by offering it to the Lord and doing it for Him. Also that on this day, you know, we want to recognize others around us who work for our benefit, right? Look at all the people who work above you, the people that work below you, their place in this very intricate tapestry of our society, from the lowest to the highest, people who are productive. We need to recognize and thank the people who we work with, who we work for, and who work for our benefit. If everything from trash men to welders to shipbuilders and our soldiers and sailors and Marines and airmen.
Officers, I know they're close to you.
Yeah,
Father.
Police officers and firemen. But you know, the guy that makes the bagel that you get every morning. And just today, like on this day, say thank you to everybody who's working for you.
Right? I think that's a beautiful takeaway, Father. And you bring up a great point, especially when we look at the life of St. Joseph. A whole lot can be accomplished when we don't care who gets the credit.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Very good.
And if you are interested in hanging out with Father Rivak even more, he's got a really great podcast called The Truth Unplugged with him and Father Tim Nadowski. Wherever you get your podcast, check it out, The Truth Unplugged.
Thanks, guys. We'll catch you next week.
It's 8:29, and the Senate Foreign Relations Committee has approved Brian Birch's nomination as U.S. Ambassador to the Holy See with a 12-10 vote, moving it to the full Senate for consideration. Birch, president of Catholic Vote, faced rigorous questioning during his April 8th confirmation hearing. Birch emphasized strengthening U.S.-Vatican relationships, particularly in advocating for persecuted Christians and addressing China's influence over bishop appointments. If confirmed, Birch would resign from Catholic Vote to assume his ambassadorial duties. The timing for this is significant, coinciding with the upcoming papal conclave following Pope Francis's death. The full Senate vote is anticipated soon, with supporters urging swift confirmation to ensure U.S. representation during this pivotal period for the Catholic Church. On the horizon, Padre Daniel Heenan, FSSP with Bosco Ministries, is going to be talking about the upcoming Ecuador mission trip for men. But next, our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Mary Magdalene. Remember our scripture verse, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest. Finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
It's 8:33.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. How are you today?
I'm doing great. So who do we have today?
Well, it's a bit of a look back segment today, a spot that was going to air back on April 25th, but was preempted due to coverage of Pope Francis's funeral.
Yes, yes.
April 25th was actually National Hairstylist Appreciation Day, an opportunity to show some gratitude for the hairstylists in our lives. And I must say, looking very well coiffed today, Allison. You have good strong hair, nice follicles.
Why, thank you.
All right. Do you have a go-to hairstylist that you visit regularly?
Yeah, no, I do. Her name is Madeline. She's in Roswell. She does a great job.
All right. Shout out to Madeline today.
Yay.
Great Thanksgiving for her. Unlike myself, I simply walk into great clips and roll the dice. Whoever happens to be there, it's fine. Yeah. Well, I have to say, they do a good job. I mean, I don't have as much to work with as I used to when I was younger, but they do a nice job. No one really knows when the first hairstylists first picked up a pair of scissors. We do know that scissors go back at least 2,000 years, so perhaps it was invented for that.
Yeah.
Hair cutting has been common since the Middle Ages. Throughout history, hairstyles have been symbols of social class, racial identification, marital status or even one's religious beliefs. The tonsure, for instance, which the monks partook of. Yeah. I don't know if they still do. Maybe a few of them do. During the First World War, women around the world started to cut their hair a little shorter, so it was easier to manage while still utilizing volume and curls. During the 1950s, men's hairstyles were mostly short, some volume and hair gel starting to make its way into the rotation. You know, James Dean.
Yes.
Famous for his cool, slicked back, slightly longer hairstyle. That was one of the more influential symbols of social anarchy and youthful rebellion at that time. Marilyn Monroe came along and reintroduced the short and curly look. I always liked that look myself.
Yes. Very
glamorous, you know.
Very pretty.
Hoping that may come back again soon. But we slowly transitioned back into that voluminous hairspray style. Bangs became popular in the 60s, inspired by Audrey Hepburn and other celebrities. And then the 70s. My goodness. What do we have there? We had many original hairstyles and cuts. The dreadlocks, the afro, the mullet. The mullet was invented in the 70s.
Which I still see people in the mullet now.
Maybe it should have stayed in the 70s. I don't know. But perms became popular for men and women. And in these modern times, hair coloring and straight styles have become more popular. Again, dreadlocks, straight bobs, natural hair is trending. Mm-hmm. But as one commentary suggested, and I quote, the stylists who can cut hairstyles throughout the ages, change our look, and alter how we feel about ourselves overall in one appointment deserve to be celebrated.
Oh, yes.
So we do that for them today.
Nice.
And on the topic of celebrations, we would like to celebrate today the patron saint of hairstylists, a very appropriate saint to reflect upon during these early days of the Easter season, none other than Saint Mary Magdalene.
Oh.
And she is assigned this patronage because of her beautiful and luxurious hair, as depicted in artistic renditions. Mm-hmm. Also due to that very dramatic, very precious scene in Scripture, you know, when she anoints Jesus' feet with perfume and then dries his feet with her hair. Beautiful,
yes.
Beautiful moment there. Mm-hmm. She is often depicted with beautifully flowing red hair. And in fact, she did receive an honorable mention from us on National Redhead Day back on November 5th, if you remember. We actually discussed St. Bridget of Kildare instead. I had to go back into the get acquainted with the sainted archives to confirm that today. But in fact, we did. But we did give St. Mary Magdalene on that day as well an honorable mention, a nod, recognizing her as a redhead. There's a small handful of redhead saints, not many.
Yeah.
There's a few. So Mary Magdalene was a Jewish woman from whom we know the Lord expelled seven demons, courtesy of Luke chapter 8, verses 2. Mired in torment, she was transformed after this encounter with, and I quote, he whom her heart loved. Mm-hmm. And that is a line from the Song of Songs,
yes,
which is proclaimed every year on her feast day, which is July 22nd, by the way. It's a rare visit to the Song of Songs on that day. And it's a very beautiful and tender passage for those who might be familiar with it. Mary Magdalene is mentioned by name 12 times in the canonical Gospels, which is more than most of the 12 apostles.
Oh, yes.
Her epithet, Magdalene, most likely means that she hailed from Magdala, which was a fishing town on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. You know, on the heels of her deliverance and subsequent conversion, there was no disciple more committed, more fearless, or more resolute. She provided for the material needs of both Jesus and the apostles. When most of the disciples fled, she remained steadfast beneath the cross until our Lord breathed his last.
And then, of course, as many of our listeners know, Mary Magdalene is called the apostle to the apostles because she was the first to see the risen Lord. Yeah. Appropriately enough, we revisit this encounter every year, like you said, on her feast day, July 22nd. And that is courtesy of John chapter 20, verse 1 through 2 and 11 through 18.
Yeah, and in fact, you both discussed this gospel passage just a few days ago, you and Josh, with Father Scott Riley. And it was a great segment, I might add. And you know, as you said, this gospel is every year proclaimed, not only on our feast day, but every year on Tuesday within the octave of Easter.
Nice.
And I know you have an interesting quote, too, from St. Gregory the Great, who during a homily about St. Mary Magdalene had some very interesting words.
Yes, he said, we should reflect on Mary's attitude and the great love she felt for Christ. For though the disciples had left the tomb, she remained. She was still seeking the one she had not found. And while she sought, she wept. Burning with the fire of love, she longed for him who she thought had been taken away.
Yeah.
You know, for perseverance is essential for any good deed. You know, when she persevered, it happened that she found what she was looking for. And anyone who succeeds in attaining the truth has burned with such a love.
Great
so,
words.
Yeah, what a beautiful quote by St. Gregory the Great about St. Mary Magdalene.
Yeah, and a great lesson for all of us. You know, after Jesus' ascension into heaven, Mary Magdalene continued her mission as an evangelist, a contemplative and a mystic in the early and very exciting days of our church. And according to Eastern tradition, she went to Ephesus with the Blessed Mother, the Virgin Mary, where she would ultimately pass away.
And she is the patron saint of women, repentant sinners, penitent women, reformed, prostitutes, contemplatives, converts, pharmacists, perfumers, hairstylists, and those who battle sexual temptation. So again, what a saint who we can call on for many, many different things for intercession.
And with regard to the latter, those who battle sexual temptation, she shares that patronage with St. Catherine of Siena, who
we
discussed just two days ago on her feast day. And you know, it's important to underscore, it's a big problem nowadays. We sort of live in this crazy post-Sixth Commandment society where it's the only way I can describe it, where in extramarital affairs are almost glorified or encouraged even. And we see it in the secular TV shows, novels, and movies.
Where it's the norm.
Yeah. So we need this intercessory help. We can, you know, we can get these saints to intercede for us on our behalf. You know, the Ten Commandments have really kind of taken a beating in recent years. You know, not only the Sixth Commandment, but even as we see these high-end stores being robbed and looted, these smash and grabs, as they call them.
Yeah.
You know, when the perpetrators are caught, they aren't even arrested or tried. They're simply set free, which is to say that the Seventh Commandment, thou shalt not steal, is no longer applicable. You know, so crazy times. We need these saints to really pray for us and to pray for our world. And of course, I digress, but St. Mary Magdalene, you know, I think with her, we're reminded that no one who seeks the Son of God with that pure and docile heart is ever turned away.
Amen.
Perseverance again. And, you know, we also learn that no one is beyond the saving power of God. A woman possessed by seven demons, you know, longs to bring every soul into his divine dominion. This is our God, you know, and we discussed this in conjunction with St. Longinus in the segment we did with him, the man who thrust the spear into our Lord. I believe we did that segment on the Monday within the octave of Easter.
Yes.
There was a man who was forgiven and went on to die that martyr's death. You know, we were all just children of the King of Kings, men and women with a past, to be certain, right?
All of us.
But also a future, you know, a glorious future in that kingdom that will never end.
Amen.
St. Mary Magdalene.
Pray for us.
Remember that psalm of the day, people. Etch it in your hearts. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Really excited because up next, Father Daniel Heenan from FSSP with Bosco Ministries will be talking about his upcoming Ecuador mission trip for men.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. Back to the Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
It is 8:45, and we are so happy to have Father Heenan. He is a priest with the Priestly Fraternity of St. Peter, and he is going to be talking to us about Bosco Ministries, and he'll also be talking about the upcoming Ecuador mission trip taking place in July from the 15th through the 26th for men ages 18 to 24, and we are so happy to have you here with us, Father. How are you doing?
Doing great. Good morning. Thank you.
Yeah, we're so glad you're with us, Father. And we'd love to know a little bit about yourself and about Bosco Ministries.
Sure. As you mentioned, I'm a priest of the Fraternity of St. Peter. We offer the traditional Latin Mass founded by John Paul II in 1988. There in Atlanta, we have an apostolate in Mableton. I've been working in Guadalajara, Mexico, basically since my ordination 11 years ago, almost 11 years ago.
Wow.
And since I was in the seminary, I've had a great interest in mission work, probably because I was able to participate in several missions in college, and it was always a very profound experience. So I wanted to be able to help give young people a similar experience. And so we started going to different countries and preparing these experiences where you get a chance to do service, but also deepen your spiritual life. And one of the things we always note is that you go to give to others, but the missionaries end up receiving probably more than they're able to give.
And that's so true. I think whenever we volunteer, whenever we give our time, we get so much more back. It's beautiful how the Lord works.
Yes, yes.
So, Father, what is the reason for this upcoming men's mission trip in, to Ecuador in July?
So, this will be the second trip to Ecuador. We went last year, and we came across a great opportunity. A bishop invited us, told us about this little town. Used to be a booming town in the mountains where they had a lot of coffee plantations. They still grow coffee there, but it actually had an airport at one point.
Wow.
But then the economy changed, and now it's just a small backwater. There's not a priest that lives there. And as is common in Latin America, there's the main town and then lots of little villages around. So we had an opportunity last year to do evangelization. We literally went door to door, and we found that Ecuadorians are almost completely Catholic. Statistically, in this little town, a lot of Protestantism had come about because the church has not been so present. So there's a lot of evangelization work to do. So we had a great experience having holy hour, preaching the catechism, working with the kids, singing songs, playing soccer. It's great fun.
I love that.
That's amazing. And I mean, it makes you, for me, it really is a reminder of how blessed we are, because we have so many opportunities to go to daily mass here. Mm-hmm. And in little rural areas like that, I mean, maybe there's a visiting priest once a month or something. You would know better than me. But yeah, I mean, so I'm sure they're very grateful for your presence when you're there.
They have a priest here, for instance, that usually says mass each Sunday. But apart from that, what's really interesting is that there's just no formation. There's no opportunity to learn about the faith. So in a town of about 4,000 people, maybe 100 go to mass on Sunday.
Wow.
You realize that very few people are getting married, baptizing their children. So there's a lot of work to do. And this is just one little town. And in the world, there's, I'm sure, tons and tons of need like this.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And it's a reminder, Father. I mean, you're encouraging men to step aside and say yes to God and trust. So what does it mean to you personally to see men step away from their daily lives to pursue something deeper with God?
Yeah, that's a great question, because we're inviting men. This is a men's mission trip, because we live in a world, and it's great to talk about this on the Feast of St. Joseph, where we tend to denigrate what it means to be a man, or many men don't have good role models. So we want to invite the men first to separate themselves from all the noise of their daily life, see a radically different experience, encounter real poverty, for instance, so you can be appreciative of what you do have and want to share, and to do something hard, which is part of virtue, to challenge yourself and do it in a context where you encounter brotherhood. So to spend 2 weeks almost with guys, you probably don't know them beforehand, but you form some real great bonds.
Mm, that's great.
That is definitely for the young men out there. So, Father, what do you believe God wants to do in the hearts of those men who say yes to the journey going to Ecuador?
Well, to be open to his grace and whatever he asks of them. So certainly an experience like this could be a great impulse for discerning a vocation when one sees how much need there is. And you think of the scriptures literally, it's like the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Mm-hmm. So we need more laborers in the vineyard. But even aside from that, I think everyone can experience a great boost in their faith. And we've seen it in years past, these mission trips we've done, is that people come back sort of inspired to take their faith more seriously, to be a little bit more grateful, a little bit less materialistic, and have that apostolic zeal.
Mm, that's fantastic. So, again, I'm sure there are people listening thinking, well, I'm not equipped to do that, or this would be such a departure from my day-to-day routine. But who should attend this upcoming Ecuador mission trip in July, and why? Because a lot of times we realize God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called.
Yeah, exactly. So then it's being advertised for men 18 to 24, and we see that as a great age when you have the possibility and the interest. So I might think of a young man, for instance, just finishing high school before he goes off to college, needs a good experience like this, or likewise, someone recently graduated from college, still doesn't know quite what he wants to do with his life. It could be a great transition into to the next stage of his life. But really, anyone who has the inspiration or hears this and says, I think I'd like to do challenge myself, it could be a great experience.
That's fantastic. And have you done, by the way, is this something y'all have, you've done multiple times before, I take it, or is this brand new for the territory you're in?
So I've been doing this for a long time. I participated in college, and because I had learned Spanish, they kept inviting me back to be a chaperone. And,
wow.
And then when I was in the seminary, we started doing this. So we started with the Fraternity of St. Peter. First, it was called St. Francis Xavier Mission Trip, and that would have started like in 2009. And we had a little pause because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit hard to organize these things, but now we're getting it off and running again. In fact, Bosco Ministries not only has this trip this year, but there's another trip to Peru.
Oh,
wow. And right after Christmas this year, at the beginning of this year, a group came down to where I am in Mexico, in Guadalajara. So we'll have three trips in total this year.
That's fantastic. So I'm assuming you've had some glory stories through this. You've seen guys really, you know, impacted through stepping outside of their comfort zone and watching hearts, you know, gently transform in certain circumstances.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a beautiful thing. So, like I said, you go there thinking you're going to do something so great by laying a few bricks or digging a latrine or whatever. And yeah, that's important. But when you see people praying in a different way, opening their eyes, inviting people to know Christ, that deepening of faith is really what we're trying to achieve, both in the people we go to serve, of course, but in a special way, the members, the missionaries in our team.
Yeah. I think that's so interesting, by the way. I just say that you're FSSP, so you're obviously, it sounds like English was your first language. Then you have to become essentially fluent in Latin. And somewhere along the route, you become fluent in Spanish as well, I take it?
Yeah, actually, I learned Spanish before Latin, but as we like to joke, Spanish is just Latin poorly spoken. So,
and there's an actual FSSP parish where you're at in South America.
Yes, I'm in Mexico in Guadalajara, okay. And we've been here since 2008. We have the parish of St. Peter in Chains.
Wow!
That's wow!
Yeah.
So, Father, where can we get more information about you, your ministry, and more information about this upcoming men's retreat in Ecuador?
The mission trip has a website, boscoministries.org. And then you can choose the Ecuador mission trip or the Peru mission trip. And there's a little button there. Also, if you can't go with us, you can also contribute, because, of course, we need donations to make this work. And if you... You can find us here in Mexico, for instance, on Facebook, FSSP Mexico. We have a page and you can see a lot of pictures of what we do here. And then also, if you want to know more about the FSSP in general, there's FSSPATL.com, and you can come visit us in Mableton.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Father Daniel Heenan, with your amazing ministry, especially Bosco Ministries and the upcoming Ecuador mission trip. Be sure to check that out, especially if you are between the ages of 18 to 24, or perhaps have a young man, young son, mm-hmm. between that age. This could be truly, truly transformative. Father, we're so grateful for you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you. Well. We're at that time, people. Wait a minute. I'm going to count down. We got 4, 3, 2, 1, music. Did you hear that? I'm getting good at this, aren't I?
Oh, Josh.
Anyway. Well, this has been an amazing show. And just a reminder, anything you give to God, you're going to get a lot more back, right?
Absolutely. And with that mission trip, I mean, I'm thinking if you have godchildren, if you've got nephews, share that with them. What a transformational experience that is.
And this is like first century Christianity, going door to door.
Yes.
It's almost less scary to think about doing that in another country than here. You think about if my neighbors saw me doing that, they'd think I'm cuckoo.
Well, it's needed. I mean, what a beautiful way to spend your summer serving and growing.
And I pray that we can all embrace this kind of missionary spirit domestically as well.
Amen.
In any way, shape, or form. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.